This is Matins.
Our catechesis this morning is based on the readings of the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year C. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, yesterday we were reminded that each and every one of us and all the Christians, as those whom the Lord had called and chosen as His own beloved and holy people, we are all expected to lead lives that are truly worthy of the Lord in all things that we say and do, in being committed to God and in loving Him wholeheartedly, just as we also ought to show the same love to everyone around us, to those whom we love and whom we are precious to, and also those who have no one to love them, and those who are poor and needy, and all those whom the Lord had placed in our path, so that through the opportunities, the blessings, and all the good things He had given us, we may use them to touch the lives of others positively. In our first reading yesterday, we heard from the book of the prophet Amos, in which the prophet rebuked the people of God who had lived wickedly and in disregard of the way of the Lord, and how they continued to celebrate and steeped themselves in lots of merrymaking and parties, despite them having led the people of God and the nation ever deeper into the path of their downfall and destruction. The prophet Amos was sent to the Israelites in the northern kingdom centered in Samaria during the time of its prosperity and power. And yet the people were morally corrupt and disobedient against God, abandoning Him for the pagan gods and idols, and doing exactly what the prophet Amos was rebuking them all again. The prophet Amos was essentially mentioned that if the people continued to do that, and if they kept on disregarding God's words and commandments, then they will face the consequences of their wickedness and disobedience against God. The Lord does not look kindly on their behaviors, in how they rejoice in the midst of their sins and disobedience, in how they behave wickedly towards one another. And yet, God in His ever-loving and patient kindness towards His people continued to love them nonetheless, as did His very best to reach out to them, just as what He had done by sending the prophet Amos and many other prophets and messengers to those wayward people. God kept on sending His messengers and prophets even as they continued on opposing Him and refusing to believe in Him. And in the end, they faced destruction and had their cities and kingdoms destroyed by their enemies. The prophet Amos continues his treaty against the rich and influential of the society who oppress the weak and the poor. He pronounces God's judgment on those who derive their joy and comfort from the miseries of the poor and the weak. This comfort will soon disappear as snow disappears. And in other words, their time will soon be up. Their evil will be finally revealed and exposed, because time reveals all things. Thus, this will be indeed the triumph and comfort of the poor. Then from our second reading yesterday, taken from the epistle of St. Paul, the apostle, to his protege St. Timothy, we heard of the word that the apostle spoke to St. Timothy regarding the importance of living one's faith genuinely, in practicing what all of us have believed as Christians, as God's holy and beloved people, those whom He had called and chosen to be His own. St. Paul also reminded the faithful through St. Timothy that all Christians ought to walk in the path of God, being holy and godly, and in doing the will of God, and being good example and role models for one another in their faith and in their way of interaction with each other. That is because unless we truly devote themselves to the Lord faithfully, we cannot truly call ourselves as Christians, and especially if our actions and attitudes contradict what we believe in. Unfortunately, the reality in this world is often one of apathy, lack of faith, and true understanding of what it truly means for us to be good and faithful Christians. For some people, they may think that it is good enough just for them to be in a so-called personal relationship with God or with Jesus, and then nothing else matters. Alternatively, with similar attitude, one can even be hypocritical in their way of living their faith, selfishly seeking their own salvation and righteousness, but neglecting their responsibilities in this world, their need to care and love for those around them who have loved them sincerely and genuinely, confusing their own comfort zone and community as heaven, while there are others who suffer because of their neglect and their inconsistent attitude, lacking in accountability and responsibility, hurting those who care for them due to their own lack of maturity in faith. And for about two consecutive Sundays, now the gospel has been talking about the consequences of mismanagement of earthly wealth. And yesterday's gospel continues with Jesus' teaching on handling of temporal goods. Jesus wants us to look into the gulf of abyss that stratify and divide us into the rich and the poor, the privileged and the less privileged. He calls us to fill the gap now before it is too late. The story for the anonymous rich man and the poor Lazarus provides us with material for reflection yesterday. The wicked is unknown to God. Jesus did not name the rich man, but named the poor man as Lazarus in the gospel. We can say that because the rich man did not know God, therefore God did not know his name. This is without prejudice to Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. Jesus says in the gospel of John, "I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep knows me." God knows his own, more so because the rich man did not love God, therefore he was unknown to God. And St. Paul tells us, the man who loves God is known by God. However, the poor Lazarus knew God, loved and trusted him in spite of his poverty. In fact, the Hebrew name Lazarus means God is my helper. It really tells how the poor man looked up to God and heaven while on earth. Truly, help comes from God. Our help is in the name of the Lord. It is indeed an agony not to know God. Everyone will die. Both the anonymous rich man and Lazarus died. Everyone must surely die one day. Death is the only thing that makes both the rich and the poor equal. Lazarus went to heaven, the rich man went to hell. It is important to know that Lazarus did not go to heaven because he was poor. Being poor is not a ticket direct to heaven. One can be poor and miss heaven. Someone can be poor and at the same time wicked, bad, hateful, arrogant, and not a friend to God. To be poor and a witch at the same time. But Lazarus went to heaven because he trusted in God. He was a friend of God. The anonymous rich man went to hell not because he was rich, but because he trusted in himself and in his riches, not recognizing the source of his riches, which is God, that the purpose of his riches, which is serving God through the poor. He failed to recognize God as the master and himself as the steward. His wealth was God's gift to the poor. Indifference is a deadly sin. Unfortunately, most of us are enmeshed in materialism to the point that we cannot see the sufferings of others around us. For instance, the people who don't know, the people who are working in their yard and in their houses are suffering. Some men of God who milk their congregation to penury and pretend it is well with their souls and heaven is a reward are suffering. The lecturers who exhort students and close their eyes to their suffering in our various tertiary institutions are suffering. The government who pretends all is well when workers are being owed for months are suffering. Some politicians who pretend, argue, and maintain with every logic in their mouth that things are moving fine in our country. The masses are happy, the workers are paid out, roads are built, employment rate have increased, are suffering. If God punished the rich man who did not help the poor with his heart and money, what will happen to those that refuses to give the poor what rightly belongs to them? Most of us feel obliged to help only our own. The Lazarus of today's gospel was neither the rich man's family member nor his friend. He was not his employee either, and the Bible did not mention that the rich man maltreated Lazarus. He did not chase him away from his house. The money he was enjoying was his wealth, the fruits of his labor. In fact, no human court will sentence the rich man. However, the rich man had the upper hand and everything it takes to change the situation of Lazarus, but ignored him. He lived in luxury while Lazarus languished in penury. He slept in big mansion while Lazarus slept in front of his gate. He feasted every day, but Lazarus managed to survive by eating pieces that fell from his table. He flourished in a robust health as Lazarus crawled with cancerous wounds. All this boiled down to the sin of indifference, negligence, and omission. On the last day, we will not be judged only by the sins we committed, but also by the good we omitted. In the final analysis, it is going to be between us and the good we did or the good we did not do. Let us now together, dearly beloved, close the abyss before it is too late. We still have the opportunity to mend fences and build bridges while we are still alive. Every day is an opportunity to help the poor. We cannot obviously deny or pretend they do not exist or they are okay. No, they exist and they are not okay. They are everywhere in our families, in our churches and communities. They are on our streets, roads and everywhere. And may the Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us his word to reflect on us yesterday, help us to live it out and be the steward for the poor. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless, protect, and guide you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.